Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's good to be here with you again to worship during this season of Lent. Last Sunday's gospel reading contained one of Jesus' parables about a father and his two sons. It told us something about parenting. Well, not really, but more, it was rather about how God deals with people. In the story, the younger had left home and wasted all that he had, and then he crawled back home. He assumed that he was no longer really supposed to be called the son anymore. He just wanted a job. But when he got back, his father greets him, and there's a big party. This was because the father loved his son more than he was concerned about what he had done that was wrong. To the father, the lost was found, the dead had come back to life, and so now let's celebrate. That's what he did. But when the older brother shows up, he won't come to the party or be glad at all. To him, his brother meant nothing, and all he could see was that his brother had squandered a bunch of money, and now he was filled with resentment for why was the father treating this bum who had wasted everything in such a good way? And so while he had lived with the father all of those years, he had no idea of the care, the concern, the worry that his father had for his brother as well as for himself. For him, all that counted was production, doing the right thing, playing it safe, keeping up appearances. His younger brother had broken all the rules, and so he shouldn't be allowed around here anymore. The reason Jesus tells this story is that God loves all children, whether they deserve it or not, and he's glad when any of them come home to him again. He receives these people as his sons and daughters, and Jesus was trying to give all those who would listen a glimpse of this kingdom, a glimpse of the way God operates, a confounding way, to be sure. And yet, the other children who never went into that far country can find it hard to understand this, and they end up missing the point. For they are resentful of a God who loves even those who really don't deserve to be loved. But the story doesn't always end the way it did last week in the parable, when the one who stayed at home doesn't really get it. For in our second lesson for this Sunday, we have the words once again of one of those older brothers, who had the grace to come to himself, come out of the cold, and join the party, and accept that God loves all people, even himself. Soon after the church was established in Jerusalem, there appears a man named Saul. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death. He held the coats while the others did the dirty work. Saul was very offended at the claims that these Christians had of this crucified Jesus as being the Messiah, even more so that they were allowing sinners, non-Jews, into their fellowship. And so he struck back and became a persecutor of the church. And he says that in our second lesson for today. He saw these people as taking the holiness of God and wasting it on the undeserving. This Paul speaks of who he was, and he says in our second lesson for today of himself, if anyone thinks that he has reason to be proud, I have more. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was a member of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as of the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. My, what a good boy he was. Racking up all those points, doing all those good things, Like the older brother in the parable that Jesus tells, Saul was like that. He was doing everything right. He held all the offices. He had all the credentials. He wasn't the one who went off into a far country to waste everything. No, he was a good religious person. And so Paul owns up to that and receives the grace of God and the love that Christ gave to him. And so it's easy, though, to get it all backwards, not as Paul did. Instead of being thankful all too often for what God has done for us, we add up all that we have done for God. And this always leads to making comparisons, adding up my points and passing judgments on others with less points and less deserving. And of course, interested in only fairness and justice, not with divine love. Divine love that forgives and comes to all of us with a new way. God should treat people as they deserve. And this always carries the implication that we have done more than most, supposedly. And so when the Father receives the wanderers back, we can be upset. Upset because we've missed the point. We think that God owes us. And yet we can live in a different way from that, God owing us, and rather look at what it is that God does for us, each of us, all the time. As soon as we start comparing ourselves with others, adding up points, and saying, well, I deserve more God, more love from God than this person, and so on, then we begin to get off the track into a different realm, a realm that, yes, the world works on, for there needs to be justice and there needs to be fairness and all that, but it seems that God does something different. Paul, again, continues to write. More than that, he says, I regard everything as a loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Rubbish. All those things that he had done and all those good things, that's rubbish compared to Jesus. For he is the one who forgives, who loves, who died on a cross. Next week, we begin to go through those events of Holy Week. What Jesus did, not for just certain people that were, quote, deserving, but rather for all people. And so in the parable that Jesus tells last week of the prodigal son, the older brother can't join the party because he doesn't accept that the father can forgive that son who wasted everything. Rather, he can just simply cross his arms and go in a corner. God calls us to something different. God calls us to a love that goes beyond all that and would forgive others for whatever they have done. And you know what? Even forgive us. And even call us children of God. Children of a God who lives and loves and continues. And so then, in our second lesson for today, we see Paul, one who wrote a good bit of the New Testament, as he reflected and wrote to the congregations that he was trying to shepherd. One who saw that, yes, before the law, he was a good boy. But before Christ, it was something different. So he could reach out to those congregations to shepherd them, to love them, and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus that goes beyond simply fairness and justice, to a law of love that reaches out to all. And so Paul continues to write, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached a goal that he had done. No, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, forgetting what happened in the past, Straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ. And so we see in Paul, there's no claim to perfection here. There is the sense that even an apostle is far from perfect, but he is still in the Father's house as we are. And we belong here. We've been called by the righteousness that God gives to us and a love that comes to all people. For we are in the Father's house, not because of what we've done, but because of what God has done. And that's really the message of Holy Week, right? Jesus comes into Jerusalem with shouts of Hosanna and the waving of palm branches. Everyone's on his side, supposedly. But then as we walk through those events of Holy Week, we find something different. We find that people turn against him for various reasons, and he's put on a cross. But he goes beyond that to a new way, love. As we prepare for Holy Week and have gone through this Lenten journey these past 40 days, may we understand better the unsurpassing love that comes from Christ. A love that has us forget about keeping score, but rather experiencing the love that God has for us. May we see all of that and join the party that the Father had set for the younger son who was lost and now found. May we be a part of that, as in one way or another, we were lost and are now found. May we allow this grace to be real within us. Amen.